Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your alternative talk radio contact, the planet, KGRARadio.com.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Just mystified by certain things I've seen, and you know, can't explain everything, but it's awesome to document it and hear people's stories. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, no, and thank you for being willing to come on. I wouldn't have a show without you guys being willing to do so. And I'm excited the fact that you emailed me, of course, to let me know, hey, I've got a couple of encounters that you might like to hear. But my favorite part is I don't know any of the details. Mm-hmm. I just know where they took place. And that's one of my favorite things is to be kind of in the dark as we plunder through this. So yeah, wherever you want to start, Adam, with this, go for it.
Awesome. So I was 17 and at the end of senior year of high school, 2004. And it was the spring of 2004. The end of April or the first week of May and of 2004. And my dad and I had driven to New Mexico to visit a small little herbal medicine and massage school that I was interested in going to. I wasn't going to go to college. I wanted to study natural healing and herbal medicine. And after a really cool trip to Silver City, New Mexico, where this school is located, which is just south of the Gila National Forest, we were on our way back and we decided to camp at this National Forest, Cibola National Forest, which is northwest of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And it's actually there's several patches, but this is one of the southern patches of the National Forest. And it's a really rugged mountainous area, ponderosa pines. And we got there to the campsite and, you know, had like a canned beef stew dinner, whatever. And, you know, I was young, and my dad and my family, you know, I grew up camping with them and doing lots of outdoor stuff. So I was no stranger to the outdoors. And there's this really rustic kind of shelter that was put out. I've never seen anything like this, but I'm sure there's plenty in lots of national parks and forests. It's just like a three-walled structure with a angled roof, basically just to protect you from the elements, right? Mm-hmm. And you're out there in the middle of nowhere, so it's a good place to camp if you don't have a tent, etc. So we decided to camp in this little Forest Service provided shelter. You know, it was a pretty good fire grate, and so big fire, and got to see the mule deer go up the hill at night. It was pretty cool. That day when we got there, we'd been on a pretty big hike just to kind of look around the area, and went up to the top of the nearest peak, you know, just kind of scrambled up and scrambled down and found our way back to the campsite. So we were pretty tired. And my dad and now me, but at the time, not so much. My dad's a big snorer, and, you know, I inherited that. But at the time, you know, I was laying awake. We're laying in this structure, which I'll try to give the dimensions. It's probably about 6 feet wide if you're staring staring at it like across and then about 5 feet tall and then sloped backwards a good 8 or 9 feet down with a slope of about maybe 2 feet. So like a, I don't know, 45 degree angle or something.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty simple structure, like a kind of a barn like structure with an open face, a short little back wall and two sides. So the front is open completely. And so we're laying there with our heads towards the back. And like I said, there's this ponderosa pine forest. So there's these huge old growth ponderosa pines. Like we couldn't even put our two arms around the one that was right in front of, like if we tried to hug it, we couldn't connect our arms. It was so big. It was right in front of the structure. But there was a path that led between the structure and the ponderosa pine that was about maybe 5 feet between the structure and the tree. So we're there, he's sleeping, snoring away. I'm trying to sleep, but I'm not asleep yet. I'm not even like, you know, really, my eyes aren't even really closed. I'm just kind of laying there and listening to him snore. And, you know, it's dark. The fire's pretty much gone out. I have no idea what time it is. It's probably, you know, 10 or 11. Because, you know, you go to bed when the sun goes down. So we've been laying there for maybe like half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. You know, I was trying to sleep, basically, but couldn't because of his snoring.
It can be kind of difficult, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I'm guilty of that now, so, as an adult. But I'm just laying there trying to sleep, and I'm not falling asleep. And then the next thing, and this is where the story really begins, and I guess I'm kind of leading up to it. Description as I can. I'd even like to describe the forest floor is very hard. These desert mountains, you know, the dirt is very compounded from, you know, animals and people walking on it. It was a trail right in front of the structure. So I hear this thud, thud, thud. And it's like really big banging that is approaching quickly. And so I sit up as fast as I can, and this, what I immediately assume, because this is what my mind wants to believe, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's a bear, it runs right past the front of the shelter. But also at the same time, my mind is questioning that, saying, wait a minute, that's not a bear. Because this thing's gait, and it was on two legs, this thing's gait, as it ran past the structure, was so wide that as it stepped in front of it, its other leg swooped across, and the width of the structure was probably about, you know, 6 feet. And that all I could see were its, and it was probably, the structure's about 5 feet tall or so at the roof, all I could see were its legs and like hairy, thick, tree trunk-sized legs swoop by. And it just kept going. It just ran by. And immediately, like I said, my mind's trying to process this. Okay, it's a bear. Wait a minute. That's not a bear. Do bears run on two legs? If they did, could they be so vertical and so fast? It just didn't make sense. It was like an Olympic sprinter. Hairy, hairy, thick legs. And this is, you know, it's nighttime. It's dark. It's a forest, but it's bright enough. If anyone's been to the Southwest, and you live in the Southwest, but you've been out where there's no lights at night, even without a full moon, the stars are bright enough to light everything up. And I have exceptional night vision. You know, I can see in the dark really well. And my girlfriend's always like, I can't see anything. I'm like, how can you not see that? It's like, I guess I have really good night vision. But point being, at the time, you know, I didn't even wear glasses. I had really good vision at the time. I was young, but this thing was right in front of me. And its middle leg stepped right in the middle, its one leg stepped right in the middle, and the other leg swung through. And I didn't even see where that one landed because its gait was so wide. And I'm in high school. I'm in honors anthropology at the time on spring break. I've been reading about Gigantopithecus in my textbooks. You know, like, I'm like, okay, this thing is, it's real. And this is, you know, I grew up hearing about stories and whatnot. I never went to go look for anything, but this was right in front of me. And I think he was curious who was making all that sound, all the noise. My dad snoring. he wanted to know what was going on. But I really do think it was not a bear. It was some kind of Bigfoot, Gigantopithecus, southwestern species, of which maybe there's a couple different species. Who knows? I mean, I was blown away, and I went up the next day after, because I was kind of shocked and scared in the moment. I was like, I'm not getting out of my tent, or not tent, the structure. I'm not going to get out of here. I'm just going to try to go to sleep. And I did. Didn't hear anything the rest of the night, but I was shaken, definitely. Because I, you know, at the back of my mind, I'm like, I know this isn't a bear. But in the front of my mind, I'm like, this could have just been a bear running by. But I'm thinking, if it was, even if it was a really big bear, I would have at least seen its shoulders or its haunches or four legs or thinner legs. These legs were just so massive, and there were only two of them, and they were moving. So there's that. I looked on the tree for hair or something, just thinking like, oh, maybe I'll get a DNA sample. You know, I'm young, and you know, there was nothing, not even a footprint, because the ground was so solid.
Right.
So I looked around and I thought to myself, and I told my dad. He was like, oh, it's probably just a bear. It's dark. You know, like, Dad, you were asleep. I was up on my elbow when this thing ran by because I heard it coming. I was already looking to see what was there. And I saw it. And I saw, well, half of it. Bottom half of it. So, you know, my family kind of has joked with me about this since then. Nobody really takes me seriously, but every once in a while you tell somebody a story, you know, either coworker or, you know, a friend of a friend or something, and you'll get a story back of something really interesting. But this is the only sighting I've had. I did have one experience really many years on, probably like 10 years later, in New Mexico, in a separate area. And this wasn't, and some of my friends like, oh, it's just people out here. But there were these, we were in the middle of nowhere. And there's a really big, thin footprint, and then a really, really tiny, thin footprint right next to it. And this really sandy bank going down into this tiny canyon in the middle of nowhere, 7 miles from the nearest road, which is in the middle of a national forest to begin with. And I was like, nobody's out here at their bare feet right now. Like, we just hiked here, you know, but it could have been some hippie with their kid.
Some hippie, I love it. It could really, it's like Cody Lundin is out there with his little nephew. What?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So
but I wish I had a camera to take a picture of the footprint.
So before I ask the questions about the sighting, just really quickly about what you just talked about there with the footprints. What do you mean by they were thin? What do you mean by that? Just normal? Like just a normal human footprint?
No. It was long. It was like when you leave a footprint, like the inner portion doesn't really leave a mark.
Because of the arch, right?
Yeah. So it was just a really big foot, because there's just a significant portion of it missing. Oh. Like this, the arch was huge. It was just a really big foot.
I gotcha.
But it was right next to it was this tiny, like, replicate of it, which was really strange. And it was headed into this canyon that I wouldn't go barefoot down, you know.
What do you remember where you guys were hiking? What a canyon that was around there?
Yeah, it's called, I think it's called Little Bear Canyon. It's in the Gila National Forest. It's on the way into Jordan Hot Springs, pretty much in the middle of the Gila National Forest. Yeah,
and
but that was a kind of I wish I had my camera. I didn't, so I have no proof. It's just it was there, you know.
I don't believe you a bit, Adam. I mean, really, come on, get it together, man. Now, so how many inches, if you could guess, how many inches was the big
probably
one?
Probably 11.
Mm.
11 or 12. Yeah, it was a big footprint. Yeah.
How far did the trackway go?
It was just one, because it was transition and from a really rocky, dry area into an actual kind of creek. And so there's this little sandy patch, and that's all. It was just one footprint of each of them. One on, it was a right foot, and then the right foot of the other one. So it was like it was following in their footsteps or something, you know.
What time of year was that?
Good question. It was summer. I couldn't say. It must have been probably August, maybe.
So this was in,
pretty hot.
Again, around the Gila National Forest. How deep, you know, back in the bush were you guys?
We were only about 5 miles from the nearest road. So we were on our way up a 7 mile hike, and we were we had about 2 more miles to go.
And you were actually on a groomed hiking trail when you saw this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So most of my friends were like, oh, whatever. It's just probably people out here with the kids. And I was like, well, first of all, how do your feet feel right now after that hike?
Right. With your shoes on. Yeah.
Yeah. And second, it just didn't make sense how big one of them was and how little the other one was. It just seemed strange, you know, but wish I had my camera.
I mean, and this is 10 years after your sighting. Did you say to your look, they're back?
Maybe it wasn't 10 years. I'm trying to think of when this actually was. I'm trying to think of who was with me at the time, because I've been there in that area so many times with so many different people.
Yeah, dates are tough. Even years can be tough for me to pinpoint, so don't worry.
It wasn't 10 years. It was less than 10 years.
Okay.
It may have been 2006 or 2007. It just seems like it was further than it was, but
right.
I'm trying to think who was with me, because I've been on that hike quite a few times. And
now, what did that friend say when they saw the barefoot prints there?
I mean, they didn't care.
They said it was just hippies.
Yeah, they thought it was probably some people with their kids out here.
Yeah, there's damn hippies out here again.
It was just an large foot. If it was, then I mean, that's probably why they can handle walking out there, if they have giant feet. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was off. It had this, it didn't make sense. It was out of place kind of feeling to it.
Right.
So how big it was and how small the other one was. Like it was, if it was compared to a human child, it was like a 2-year-old size foot.
Yeah. And who would be walking their 2-year-old out in, you know, kind of a high desert area where there's plenty of snakes and things like that, right?
Out there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, lots of parents make really poor decisions with their kids, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, but still, it does seem very strange.
It was. It was very out of place, definitely.
You know how people say they get weird feelings, you know, like they're being watched, or you know, did you get any of that?
Oh, always in that forest.
Really?
I mean, I did one plant identification survey in the Aldo Leopold Wilderness, which is kind of in between the Gila and the Cibola. And the whole time I was out there, I felt like I was being watched. I didn't see any. I mean, there's a lot of bear scat and stuff, you know, like I'm always on the lookout for stuff. I didn't see anything. But I mean, I grew up camping and stuff, and I've had a lot of things come around and sniff my tent. So I'm always listening, you know, like something's out there. But that's the territory when you go out into the forest or out in the nature. You kind of have that innate feeling, I think, just as like a kind of evolutionary guard, you know, you have that guard up maybe just a little bit. But
as well you should, right?
Yeah, but
lots
definitely, you know,
there.
There's mountain lions out in the Southwest, and even here in the Pacific Northwest, I hear every once in a while.
Even though they want to deny it, you know, there's no big cats out there. But
they're out there.
Yeah, my dad's place that I was mentioning, we had a neighbor that would go fishing and then throw the fish heads just right out into the road for some reason. And people, you know, hippies, there you go. We'll just blame it all on the hippies. God bless all you hippies listening. Sorry, we love you. But it would bring in, you know, you'd go out the next day, fish is gone, of course, and there would be massive cat tracks out there. Huge. And we're like, maybe you could stop like throwing your stuff outside that, you know, predators want to get after. It was, Arizona, you know, it's impressive.
Right there by the, I mean, southeastern Arizona, and I mean, really, any southern Arizona and southern New Mexico are pretty much subtropical at this point, almost. And what that does is the whole suite of species are migrating north.
Well, it makes you wonder about the big pizzas.
That's the mammals. And
you know?
What happens is I've actually... And I, interestingly, you mentioned these big cats because I had this really amazing sighting of a... And, you know, people will argue this, but it was a half mountain lion, half bobcat.
Mm.
Or some kind of cat hybrid. And it was near Pima, Arizona, at Indian Hot Springs or Hot Springs, Arizona. And we were all just sitting there in the hot springs, and it walked by smiling, wagging its tail, and it was the size of a mountain lion with the huge tail, but with the patterns of a bobcat.
Oh, that's similar. Weird.
Oh, yeah. It was out of this world beautiful. And we'd known something had been around because we hear it killing things at night. this place is wild. I mean, you know, Arizona's wild. The whole Southwest is wild. But yeah, that's one of my cool sightings, you know, and that one was, there were people with me who saw it, and interestingly, we were all nude. I'm actually kind of was one of those hippies, you know.
Busted.
So we all stand up butt naked, this thing's watching us. It was probably about 25-30 yards away, and it just walked across the property and wagging its tail, smiling at us, and we never saw it again.
Well, you know why it was smiling? Because it looked to it, you guys look like the bunny from Fatal Attraction just simmering in the pot, you know? He's licking his chops.
Probably.
That's a cool sighting, awesome. Though, because, I mean, in essence, that's a cryptid in a way, because it's not something that's named, right? I mean, I don't know
species,
what you'd...
Species, yeah.
What you'd call
the
that?
Felix genus is you know, the cat, and so a species can technically hybridize. I do have a degree in botany and chemistry, so I am a little bit of a science nerd.
So is there a name for something like that? Then, am I wrong? Like a cougar and a bobcat?
It would be the name of the genus and then the two species names, you know, X with an X in between.
So, well, I mean, if you were going to name it, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, is that in the books, though? Is that something that, you know, has been documented?
I think so.
Oh.
Maybe a few times.
Oh,
it is
okay.
It's a possibility.
I didn't. Yeah, that's so cool. I bet that was a cool sighting. It's something that large, but then the patterns of a bobcat, which are unmistakable.
Yeah, it was wild. It was totally camouflaged if it had been in the bushes or the, you know, shrubs, but it had walked across a cement paved area. So it was just
there. No, seriously, he was like, you guys just stay
You're
on in there
off.
For a little bit longer. Keep on cooking. You're almost done. Yeah. Don't worry about me.
Exactly.
Okay, so swinging back to... Yes. The sighting in Cibola. So the snoring is something that has been postulated before as far as being something that is interesting to a Bigfoot. I could see why it would be, and possibly bringing them in. Now, the other thing was, of course, you guys were, like you said, you were cooking like canned stew and things like this. So, you know, there's a couple of different... maybe reasons why something would be interested in you guys. I mean, as far as the shelter goes, I can picture it, of course, but the whole front of it is completely open, right?
That's totally correct. Yeah. It was completely open, like a big square.
Yep. Okay.
And there's a 2x4x4 threshold across the bottom on the ground, where there's inside very comfortably gravel laid out.
Oh, nice for you. Comfy. I mean, at least you had something, I guess, but my goodness. So that was put up by the Forest Service. And and also it's just so cool because I can kind of picture You painted the picture, and I can see that thing walking by. How far from it do you think you were?
Like, my feet were probably about 2 feet from its feet.
Oh.
Yeah, as it ran by,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, if my feet were sticking out, which, you know, there was a good 6 inches before they actually would, this thing was pretty big, you know, you could fit 3 or 4 people in there. But my laying down fully, my legs were not sticking out of the shelter. But if I did, and if I wanted to, like, kung fu kick my leg out, I probably could have tripped
that guy up. Probably wouldn't have worked out so good for you. You're like, gotcha.
I was kind of scared, you know, to be honest. Yeah. I was kind of frozen. You know, I thought, I just like, what is coming towards me right now? And as soon as it came, it just went. It ran straight by. It didn't even stop.
So considering the fact that this structure is, you said, roughly about 5 feet in height, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were propped up on your elbow, and all you could see were its legs. So could you guess how tall this thing was?
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not the best with, like, estimates here, but I'm looking at my wall here trying to figure out, okay. I mean, he must have definitely over 8 feet tall. I mean,
yeah.
All I saw were the legs, and the rest, and maybe even 10 feet tall. It must have been huge. It must have, like, its head would probably be at my ceiling.
Right. Like, that's what I'm thinking, because it's even more in the favor of it being taller because of the fact that you're on the ground already, like, looking right up, you know?
Yeah.
And all you could see were its legs. So how again, another really difficult question, but how big were the legs? You said they were definitely muscular, like, but...
If I put my arms around, like, just in a circle, and I got not very long arms, but diameter-wise, maybe like a foot and a half diameter-wise. I'm just estimating here, you know.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Any smell to this thing?
No, I didn't notice anything smell-wise, but again, like, you know, we're pretty open area. There was a pretty big breeze and a wind all day and night. So if there was, I don't even know if I would have smelled that. And also, like, I was kind of in shock almost, you know? So even then, if it was, I don't know if I would have noticed it, you know? Kind of just like, what the heck just happened? I'm going to sleep.
And I'm looking up, yeah. And, I mean, was it tough for you to go back to sleep?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I fall asleep easily, and anywhere. If I'm tired enough. But I definitely laid there for a while listening, probably for like an hour before I fell back asleep. But I was just, you know, eyes closed, listening, you know, like a scared 17-year-old in the desert mountains with his dad still snoring.
Still snoring away. No clue what's going on. Did it cross your mind to wake him up and go, Dad, something's out here?
I think I might have. I'm trying to remember if I think I did. And I said, Dad, something ran by the tent. And he just was like, oh, yeah.
sure, son. Go back to sleep.
Yeah, I don't think he was conscious when I woke him up. But I think he was sleep talking. But no, he did. The next day, he didn't even recall or hear anything when I asked him. So.
I do like that you had the presence of mind to check around the next day for any evidence whatsoever. That was a question I had, and you already answered it, so high five for that.
Yeah, and I wish there had been, you know, and I kind of, you know, here I am in the Pacific Northwest. I'm like, I got to get out there and start looking for something.
Now, I just looked up Cibola, and I'm trying to see mm-hmm. what the... You know, how many acres and all of that. Do you know that stuff offhand? Like how large of a national park that is?
I don't, but I know that several different portions that are not connected. Excuse me. So you'll have national park in a certain area, and then in another area it's the same national park. But they're kind of like split up.
Oh. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah.
That seems to be common.
Cibola. I was looking up under...
So if you look at truth and consequences, TRC, If you look at Truth or Consequences near Elephant Butte, there's just to the west, there's a Cibola National Forest portion. It's very long, kind of biscuit shaped. There's springs. There were springs in the mountain, just water coming out of the mountain. But here's exactly where we were, was the Apache Kid Wilderness, or the Apache Kid something or other. It's a tiny little campground.
Apache Kid, like K-I-D?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah, let me pull that up.
It's about in the middle of that whole portion, in the middle on the eastern side. So just basically, if you're in Truth or Consequences and you drive into the Cibola National Forest, it's like right there.
Oh, I think I was looking at the wrong thing before. Never mind me. Okay, here we go. Gila National Forest, Fort Apache Reservation, and then, okay, Apache Kid Wilderness. So that's actually where you were.
Yeah, that's where we were.
Okay, I've got it now. I don't know what my maps did. It was probably my fault. Okay.
All good.
Once you go further west, the Gila National Forest, and then Tonto and Coconino, cool name.
Everything's all
is
connected.
Large. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not far to get to any of those places.
Yeah, and then
Apache Sitgreaves. Yeah, yeah.
All right there.
And
it's
I
all connected. The on rim, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it looks like there's two different... there's the Fort Apache Reservation and San Carlos Reservation, which means those are definitely areas that are going to be less populated and less kind of, you know, disturbed with some of the things that we like to do with land sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of wildlands out there.
So, and there's definitely some pretty large peaks out there. I'm trying to look at this Sheep Mountain peak, but it's not giving me... I know this is very titillating for everyone listening. They're like, oh, my God, just stop it. But the point was, is there's a lot of places to move around for these things. Do you think that they would stay year-round in a place like that, or do you think they move?
That's a great question. I mean, I've with the research I've done, it's suggested that they're migratory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, and personally, I believe that they exist, you know, just based on, you know, my own and others' experiences. I think that they're migratory. And I think that the part of the reason we don't see them is because they're always moving, probably even when it's not a migratory movement. You know, I think that their diet probably requires them to have, like, cover a really large area, kind of like, you know, a bear or a mountain lion. You know, and then you've got there's that other perspective that there might be more like magic involved, maybe, in their ability to keep hidden, kind of choose to be seen or not.
What do you think about that aspect of it?
I don't know. And that, I think that there's like the two different branches, right? That maybe it's the magical thing, and then maybe if there's like the UFO connection. I honestly don't know. I have a few UFO experiences and sightings, and I can't really draw the line between the two necessarily. Like, I'm not going to say they're not connected, but I also have no reason to think that they are.
Right.
So, but I don't know, you know, that's a fascinating area to explore. But personally, like, I think that there's a huge amount of life and mystery that we don't know about on this planet. I mean, we're so naive to think that we understand things that we, you know, ban certain plants and say, oh, this one's not allowed or whatever, you know,
right.
Noxious weeds or whatever. But we've done so much destruction to the planet that, like, we're really we have no right to choose what can live and what can die. And I think that maybe this Bigfoot, different, whatever, maybe there's two or three different species around the planet, or maybe more. I think that their key to survival has probably been moving around, you know, and not staying in one place. Because if they had, then, you know, we probably would have more evidence. But I think that they're probably just as intelligent as us, if not more so, because they're able to remain so hidden and cryptid. You know, and we all kind of wish for that moment where, oh, we've caught one, right? But I also kind of wish we never do, in a way.
Yeah.
Keep that mystery and keep their mystery a mystery, you know, to out of respect almost, you know.
That's what makes
but
it
I'm
fun.
Fascinated. Yeah, I'm fascinated with it. I think that they're out there, you know, some watching people, you know, listen to a lot of your podcasts, and some of the stories are amazing, you know, and you really wonder, you know, when is, even whether it's, you know, UFOs or Bigfoot or paranormal, like, when are we really going to document the connection between us and the other, whatever that other is? That would be really cool. You know, we don't have to capture a Bigfoot to document, like, interaction, you know, or something like that. So it's just going to take the right amount of, you know, dedication. Someone's really got to get out there and, with a microphone and a camera, say, ready to interview Bigfoot.
I don't know, Adam. I think that when they're disappearing into portals, we can't do that, you know? It's just not, it's not going to happen for us.
Well, that seems to, it might be what's happening, right?
It very well could be. No, but, you know, looking at this map further, and I don't know what show it was. You know, it might have even been my own. And even back on Show Notes with Shannon, when I was still on Sasquatch Chronicles, I interviewed Jesus Payan. He was on Breaking Bad, and he's also come back on Into the Fray. And, you know, he's in that area, and I think he's even mentioned that in and around Albuquerque, you know, people have seen things. And looking at the map, sure, there's a big open space. You know, you have Apache Kid Wilderness, you go a little further northeast, there's not much, and then you hit Albuquerque, and there's kind of a little patch of green, but then all of a sudden, you're hitting Taos, and then I see Carson National Forest, and San Juan National Forest, and then you're up into Colorado all of a sudden, with tons of massive mountain ranges. So, I just don't, like you said, I just don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that these things maybe come down into these more sparse areas, especially at certain times of the year. I mean, if I was a Bigfoot and I was that mobile and I was that bad at the bone in the wilderness and it could handle myself, why not move around to different parts of the country that have fairer weather or more chance for food and shelter and water? I mean, isn't that why people that have plenty of money, they'll have a summer home? Because by God, who wants to be up in Wyoming when it's, you know, you're 12 feet deep in the snow if you have the option to go to fair weather and be more comfortable? So, and I don't think it's so much mm-hmm. as a comfort thing for them as a survival thing. But, you know, even my Bigfoot in Nevada episode pretty much touched on this exact same thing, kind of seeing something in a place that you wouldn't exactly expect it, but it doesn't mean that it's an impossibility. You know, that they probably do move through various parts of the country, even surprising ones.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. And you know, you hear from all the stories and reports and podcasts and TV shows and everything, it doesn't seem that there's any part of the country or even part of the world where there isn't something like this, either in local legend or modern anecdotal reports. You know, there's, it seems like there's something that we're just missing.
Do you ever think back to, you know, either when it was approaching or when you finally saw a leg, do you wish you would have gone, hey, or hey, you, or, oh, you know, made a noise, or I mean, are you kind of glad that it, oh, really?
If that's a great question. If I had known that it wasn't a bear, then yes. But because of my mindset and where I was at, I was preparing for a bear.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's bear. I just saw a bunch of mule deer. Like I wouldn't be surprised if a bear comes roaming by. We just cooked a can of stew, right? So I'm thinking that as it's approaching and I'm hearing this stomp, 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 I'm thinking, okay, this is, I'm getting ready, here comes a bear. But as immediately as it goes by, you know, the time it takes for my brain to process that that wasn't the bear,
right,
it was already gone.
Right, right.
So no, I didn't even have a chance. And I'm honestly didn't even think about that until this moment that you asked me. So no, it didn't even cross my mind.
See, but no, but no, that explanation totally makes sense to me. And before you even said it, that's what I was thinking it probably was going to be. And it makes complete sense that by the time your brain goes, you know, oh, it's here comes a bear. It's a bear. It's not a bear. Oh, my God. And then it's just over. Yeah. Right. It's just done.
Exactly.
And that also plays into the fact that people get real up in arms about, oh, where's the picture? You know, you saw Bigfoot. Where's the picture?
Right.
But you're not thinking about that at the time. You know, you could have like a red camera hanging around your damn neck in 4K, ultra high def, whatever the hell, you know, the Seth Meyer on his Pentax. Eyes. He's like, there's no such thing. Yeah.
We had a 35mm Pentax with us. It would not have exposed worthwhile.
But would you have even thought, you know what I mean?
Because it was in the bag.
Yeah. Like you're seeing something that is, even if we're into this subject, for me to finally see one, I don't know that it would cross my mind to lift my camera and take a picture. You're just, your brain is like just all absorbed. Synapses are firing, you know?
Yeah. At the time too, you know, I don't think I even owned a digital camera. I was way into photography. I loved taking pictures. I had my Pentax camera with me. So, you know, if this was during the day and under different circumstances, you bet I could have gotten a picture because we had the camera out all day. But we were, you know, my dad's asleep and I'm laying there. The camera's in the bag. I didn't even think about taking a picture. Yeah. Because afterwards, you know, after the sighting, I mean, honestly, I was kind of in shock, just kind of laying there. My dad's asleep. Is this thing coming back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that? Was it a bear? That wasn't a bear. I thought it was going to be a bear, but it wasn't. I don't think that's what a bear looks like, you know? I mean, I know what a bear looks like. And, you know, immediately I didn't, like, think, oh, this is Bigfoot, right? Because my brain's trying to rationalize what happens. And that's in any paranormal or, you know, sighting that's, can't really be explained with our modern definitions of things. Like you're trying to rationalize it and you go through these steps of rationalizing till you get to the point where it's like, okay, well, this is probably actually what it is. You know, it's probably Bigfoot.
I mean, were you into, so you weren't really into like Bigfoot really too much. You said the Gigantopithecus came along in your studies, but were you into Bigfoot at all?
No, I mean, I, as a child of the 90s, you know, I loved watching all those shows, like, you know, all of the National Geographic stuff and the unexplained mysteries and unsolved mysteries. And, I loved all that stuff growing up, but that was all entertainment for me as a kid. I never really like researched it or anything. But when I had that experience in New Mexico and then I moved to New Mexico, I definitely, like, along with my studies of herbal medicine and natural healing, I definitely studied paranormal stuff. And a lot of, once I saw a few things up in the sky, I really started looking more, you know. And then there was just the footprint and just a bunch of little tiny things, and then you start talking to people and you hear stories, and just kind of your interest in it builds.
Yeah.
And someone gave me a cool book of like mysteries of the world and stuff, like, and it's just, you know, there's so much out there in the history of our planet and what's going on now that we just don't know. There's so many mysteries, and the Southwest is full of them. It seems like it's just goes on and on. You can go anywhere and find traces of people, or, you know, see strange animals, you know, whether it's a Cota Mundi or a, you know, rattlesnake. It's a wild place. Opened myself up to that, so to speak, and when I was a young adult. And during my studies, we would go, I did a couple apprenticeships. One was with this group called Voyage Botanica, and we would travel to Hot Springs, Arizona, or near Pima, and from there we'd go out, you know, to Mount Graham or out into the desert and just explore around, and we'd always find just amazing traces of, you know, ancient humans, or, you know, whether it's pot shards or old matates and stuff like that. And yeah, just opened myself up to kind of the mysterious aspects of life, and had a lot of really profound experiences.
Well, I was going to say, if you wanted to share any more of those, that would be awesome. Totally up to you. You kind of mentioned UFOs and some other experiences, right?
Yeah, I did. And I interestingly, you know, like as I mentioned, I have a recording I gave to Ryan about Ryan Sprague about my UFO sighting in Silver City. And I actually have to send him finish a small portion of that for him. So we'll save that for that episode.
Yes. Yeah. Save that part for Ryan. Yeah.
That's a whole other story, but yeah, I've seen things that, you know, it makes you question, oh, what is that? Is that it's not a plane. It's not a missile. It's, you know, that's gotta be something else. So, you know, anyone who's seen a fighter jet or heard, you know, you hear it before you see it. So,
right.
It's not one of those. But yeah, the Southwest is just a mystical place. And now that I'm in the Pacific Northwest, I feel like I've started to get out into the mountains a little bit, and I'm, you know, open to looking for things. But I'm working, and I'm a dad, and, you know, just trying to get by in this weird reality we have now. Right?
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to get out there into the forest, and here we have the Gifford Pinchot National Forest, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I've been up there every chance I get, but I definitely need to get out there more and start looking around.
Well, if you find any more of those three-sided shelters, you're going to have to take it up, because obviously you've had good luck so far staying in those forest ranger structures or Forest Service structures.
Yeah, and I've never seen anything since then or before then, and I'm sure they're out there, but I'd be ever grateful to have anything like that at the campsite. It was, and maybe it's good luck for the Bigfoot sightings too. So,
I mean, you never know. And it's good that now you're a snorer, except you might sleep through it now, but
there you go. Well, that's one more thing. This is kind of a joke, but I wanted to share with you, and you just reminded me. So I think you're right. I think the snoring might have done something to draw him in, or her, whoever it was, Bigfoot.
Right.
Person. But I have this philosophy about snoring, and, you know, you've heard about vestigial traits, like your wisdom teeth or your tailbone,
right,
or your appendix, or, right, stuff where this kind of things, that evolutionary traits that are just hanging around that used to kind of serve a purpose but maybe don't anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think snoring is one of those. I really do. Some people think it's a bad thing. It's a health problem. I really think it's an evolutionary mechanism to provide safety.
Like to warn something that you're there and, you know,
like,
hey, there's something
think
here.
About this.
Go away.
I'm a scientist here. So I'm thinking evolutionary like Charles Darwin right now. You got to think. If I have a trait for snoring, right, and a lot of people do, that means that it was passed on, because the trait for not snoring was not passed on, right?
Right.
So they got eaten. You know, you're on the savannah 50,000 years ago, and your tribes out there, all the men are snoring. What hyena in their right mind is going to go mess with that group of snoring men?
It's like there's a chorus of them over there.
Not going to be like, you know, gendered in this. Women can snore too. You know,
yeah.
But I think it might have saved a lot of our ancestors, and perhaps attracted this one Bigfoot individual.
Well, and it's not. I mean, that's not a silly theory at all. And it's like I said, it's not the first time on my show I've heard that someone was snoring and something came in to see what was snoring, and that might be another reason that, you know, playing a baby cry can work so well with these things as well. It certainly draws them in.
I'd love to do the research, but if I'm out there snoring, that means I'm asleep. So
yeah, you got to set up the cameras and the thermals at that point, right? Because then you're just not going to even know.
I need to record my dad's snore. That's what I need
actually,
to do.
Actually, yeah. If you do a recording of a snoring or a baby crying, although, of course, if you know Derek Randall's story of playing the baby cry, maybe you don't want to do that. I don't know.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. But his is an encounter that I tell it a lot because it's one of those ones where he never saw it, but he didn't have to know what it was and to have the absolute shit scared out of him to where he was actually done with Bigfoot research after that encounter for years. He promised, he swore he'd never go back out in the woods again. I'm done with it. I'm out. He really thought he was in mortal danger.
Yeah, I mean, it gets dark and scary out there sometimes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it really does. And, you know, especially with where you're at, which is so cool because you can, you know, drive a couple hours and be in a literal rainforest, you know, and massive ferns that even just the ferns on the ground grow a couple feet high, right? And then you have felled trees and massive pines, and then you have just the regular forest as it is. And in some parts, especially Washington State, like you can't see five feet in front of you. There could be God knows what, you know,
that's
right there.
When I first here, being used to the Southwest and kind of the grid city of Chicago, like it was so hard for me to navigate here in Vancouver. Cause first of all, I moved here in the summer and immediately it seemed like it was fall. And it was so dark and gray and foggy and wet, and I didn't know where the hell I was. And part of my
felt closed in.
I couldn't see anything because all the trees. I couldn't navigate like how I normally do. I'm a really good navigator. Like I can navigate, man. Let me tell you, on a map, compass, like I can get around. But I didn't know where the heck I was driving around. I had to, like, you know, I didn't even have a smartphone at the time, but I had to print out instructions and look at a flashlight, see where I'm going. But you get out into the forest here and, you know, you can't see 10, 20 feet ahead of you. It's thick. It is thick. And even around the city, there's, you know, so many trees and creeks and little, you know, nature like areas that, you know, nature has these little bypasses in the city. And so you get lots of deer and other critters running around. And we're really not that far from the mountains here, the Cascade Range. So, yeah, there's a lot of space out there to hide.
Yeah, no, there is, especially for something that's so adept at doing so. And that's where they live. That's their house. So they're a lot better at navigating it than we are, and they can be really quiet if they want to be. Of course, yours wasn't very quiet. sounds like he was just thumping right up there.
Thought of one thing. I was on my way back from camping in Gifford Pinchot National Forest once, and I was by myself. It was July 4th. I was on my way back, 2016, and I just decided to stop at this really cool, like, mossy area on one of the switchbacks down the mountain. And I got out, and like, it wasn't like anybody's property. There was like kind of a little trail, and like, it was a pull off, just pulled off. And I just had this feeling like I was being watched, and I didn't know what to think about it. And then I kind of walked down this little trail, and there was just these animal bones laying around. And this like weird stick configuration. And I never thought, like, oh, I'm going to go look for like Bigfoot stick arrangements. But I'm thinking, this is kind of like those things I've seen on these documentaries where, you know, people say that Bigfoot put sticks up in like these weird cross formations and stuff. And it was just strange. Like, I had this really weird vibe that I was being watched and that I needed to go back in my car. So I did, but there was like, I don't know if it was a deer or a rabbit, or there was just these little bones scattered around this really thin, it wasn't big sticks, or these thin sticks that were just kind of hung in a tree, like in this, like pushed up against a tree and kind of
in an X formation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the bones are on the ground.
Yeah.
But the bones were set up as if someone placed them in a certain pattern.
No, just strewn about. Yeah. I mean, you know, it could have been coyotes or anything, but it was a lot of them. So it seemed just kind of weird, you know, and the place was not, it was not tread upon by humans, even though, you know, it was an area where there are people in the national forest. It's just off the side of the road. As I walked in, was the first one to, you know, leave footsteps in quite a while. So no one had been there in a while. All the moss was all untouched and everything. But it was just a weird thing, you know,
And you did get the feeling of being watched there and kind of hightailed out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hmm. It was just a spooky, not even like, oh, this is Bigfoot, really, but like, this is just really weird. This is a spooky place.
Probably witches.
Could have been witches. You know, there's hippies. A lot of both of those around here, you know. I felt like I was being watched, and there was like, you know, something had put the sticks there, and something was eating things there and leaving the bones there. And it was right by the side of the road, but kind of in this mossy ditch that, you know, if something was standing there or hanging out there, or even if it was a deer or whatever, just chilling, whoever's driving by that mountain road probably wouldn't even see it just because they're focused on the driving. But it was just another one of those moments where you're like looking around like, I don't think a person did this.
That's just the first thing that comes to mind, right? When Gifford Pinchot is a massive swath of land, that is legit forest right there. That's where, like, straight out of, you know, the end of the movie Harry and the Hendersons, except even more green and lush and dense, right?
Yeah, and a lot of really steep hills and mountains and valleys, so many little, like, interchanging creeks and rivers and, you know, bushes and so many. It's really thick. And you got Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams there. So places to get around and hide. Wouldn't be surprised if there's you know, whole tribes of Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, and it'd be so easy for them to hide in a place like that, and they wouldn't have to really go anywhere if they didn't want to. Huge swath of land at Gifford Pinchot alone, and that's just one of the forests. Yeah. Oh, don't be going picking no berries. You're going to end up in the missing 411 books, you know? You got to stay away from the berry bushes. It's a no-go, man. Hey, just real quick, do you think that Bigfoot has anything to do with any of those cases? Have you read any of this kind of more strange ones where people are carried up the side of mountains and they don't have any scratches on them somehow and they're barefoot?
I've just recently seen the missing 411 on Amazon, and so I haven't actually watched any of those yet. But I have heard stories like that, you know, growing up watching those shows and stuff. I don't know. I also remember seeing a lot of those stories in like tabloids growing up, like Pamela Anderson like accosted by a Bigfoot or whatever.
Had his baby. Just they go right for the gusto, yes, right? Like Bigfoot's baby. Yeah.
But I think it's possible. You know, as crazy it is, people do it, right?
Yeah.
People kidnap people. So as horrible as that is, I think that an animal that's capable of lifting up a human and yoinking them, you know, that's totally possible. But, you know, I've never heard of anything like that in my own experience, you know.
Well, and don't become, you know, one of those stories, that's for sure. But yeah. No, if you ever run into anything again, you make sure to get in touch with me.
You'll be the first to hear about it.
Thank you.
My family will probably laugh at me. But
that's okay. My family laughs at me too. It's okay. We just got to keep trucking forward, you know, and
right.
We love what we love, and we like to talk about what we like to talk about. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. This has been great sharing this with you. It's not like the biggest, most exciting sighting, but it definitely was not a bear. I'll tell you that much.
That would have been exciting for me because, you know, it's cool because you do mention the bear, and you're like, oh, well, I did think it was going to be a bear. But then your mind is trying to say, well, even Petals the bear, who walked bipedal a lot, you would have been able to see half of Petals' body. You know what I mean? Like, what else could that be?
It was the way it was moving, too. Right. It was just so hominid-like, you know? It was just the hips, you know, were at the top of this structure, basically.
That's huge, man. That is a big, big boy. I mean, again, we're assuming it's a boy, I'm just saying. Usually the males are larger, but...
Stomping shook the earth, like the running on the hard earth. It's like it. I could feel it and hear it all at the same time.
Oh, what color was it?
So it was, dark brown, black. I mean, I couldn't even really see the colors. Furry, really, really furry. Like the fur was probably, 4 to 6 inches long. It was so dense. And yeah, it was just like two big furry tree trunk legs, one in front of the other. You know, the first one stepped in the middle, the next one swung by just through the whole front of the structure, and then kept going.
Now, you guys were out there in April and May. Did it cool down? It cools down at night pretty good out there still, right? Yeah.
Yeah, cold. It was probably about, 40 degrees.
Did you get any glimpse at his feet?
It was moving so fast. All I really saw were the legs because of how I was angled, The threshold was a 4x4, right? And if I'm up on my elbow, it's kind of covering or blocking the front of view of the trail that's right in front of the structure. But I honestly wasn't looking at the feet. I was just trying to see what it was in its entirety.
So your eyes try to go up.
I definitely wasn't wearing shoes, I'll tell you that much.
No Reeboks on that guy? He wasn't sponsored by anybody?
No Nike. Nope, no sponsor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd pick Bigfoot for an Adidas guy, kind of, probably.
Nike wishes shoes. They could get their hands on him,
There must have been big feet, but I mean, I didn't see feet, to be honest. I just saw the legs. And it was dark. It was, nighttime. The starlight and probably moonlight were bright enough that I could see the ponderosa pine in front of the structure. I could see all the other trees in the forest. I could see up through this canopy into the stars. So I could see this thing go by, but I only really saw its legs.
I wonder where its hands were, because a lot of times you do hear that their arms are really long, and sometimes the hands can hang down abnormally, far. I mean, it's not in every case. I'm just saying, like, maybe he was just, booking it, so his hands were up. I don't know.
Yeah, his hands were probably up, running. Going.
He runs by with, like, a peace sign. Peace, guys. See ya.
Was moving.
Yeah.
Was moving.
Oh, no, that's awesome, Adam. Thank you so much for taking the time out to share that.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes. And consulting our memories. And then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you will understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it this way. He said, spring does not become summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.